if there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
I respect you, and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF.
Hello everyone, 2026 is approaching. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? People are discussing the guest of yesterday, France, and the impossibility of having a 90% female society. I mean, beyond the fundamental issues with evolution, people are raising other issues. Where do you get your plumbers? How are you going to get a 90% female society to have plumbers? Oh my God, that's such a bizarre idea. But, you know, I don't dislike that I've done this interview. Maybe we can do more interviews with people who are rejected by the mainstream, people who are denied a voice in our society that is supposedly liberal, but that is impressively gatekeeping in terms of public access. Now, of course, it's like when you invite this kind of guy who cannot express himself, has no talent at phrasing stuff for an audience, of course it leads to low audiences because people get annoyed very quick and it's like, I can't listen to this guy. But I don't care. I don't care. I can run some shows with smaller audiences. And, you know, those who want to go through it, to go through the pain, we still had access basically to a bizarre brain, a bizarre guy with his own IDs. Probably on drugs, you know. If he wasn't, I don't know that he was on drugs at the moment of speaking to me. But this is what drugs do to your brain. Super scattered brain, can't understand from the perspective of the people listening to you. Does it matter that your theory ultimately comes from you having a girlfriend in high school? When you get into that business of speaking to people, You have to understand it's not about how you feel. It's not about telling your story. It's about what they will receive from it. And telling the audience a whole 15 minutes intro about, here's how I reached my theory. So I had this girlfriend in high school. People have a misunderstanding because someone who's talented in public communication, they know how to tell a personal story. But plug it. Plug it in a meaningful way. And it's like, now the personal story becomes kind of oiling. It becomes a form of oiling for your mind. And I'm like, and I can go deep in it. And it makes a kind of emotional communication with the audience. But if you're just like, I have this theory. And so here's my whole history. I've been having a girlfriend in high school. But then I went into depression. It's like, no one wants to hear all of this. Urbatech says, the normal state of humans is to have fewer males because of wars. It's more like 45-55, maybe 60-40 after a major war. Even 55-45 would change the dynamics significantly, though. Absolutely. That may be why the current days feel painful. It's because we don't have anymore these mass events of young men dying and therefore freeing up the space of dating. And I'm not saying that we should go back to war. I don't think it's a great idea. But that is the conundrum. That is the situation we're in. Daily Cope says, I fractured my toe and became a bisexual. Literally, this is not even a joke. This is a quote. So it's like, you fractured your toe. This led you into a depression, and now you were a bisexual, and now you had this whole idea. I mean, to the point where people were thinking he was a troll, but I don't think he's a troll. He's been like constantly annoying me on Twitter, and he seems to actually believe in his ideas. He totally could be a troll. Man, I'm rolling through all sorts of experiments and photos for white people food. This is beef kidney. So I made the beef kidney in a classical French way, but I gave my twist because I didn't want to go buy cognac or brandy. So I put some apple cider. I had bought some cans of apple cider for other recipes. So that's a very sweet beef kidney. Delicious. I love it. High cuisine people would tell you it's too sweet because it's maple syrup based, but I love this. I love this, and I don't care. It's not everything in my book is meant to be high cuisine. Sometimes things are just good, and beef kidney with maple syrup sauce is one of my creations that I've been living with for 10 years approximately. I enjoy doing it regularly. It's something that's totally eatable, you know, on the everyday. It's a very functional food. Doesn't cost much to produce. The kidneys are always cheap. So here you have beef kidney. You brown it in butter. You add apple cider, beef stock, Dijon mustard, thyme, salt, pepper, and maple syrup, and you reduce the sauce with the kidney in the pan. The sauce reduces until it becomes this thick brown, dark brown syrup, and the kidney becomes dark brown. It's beautiful. In high cuisine, they would tell you to remove the kidney from the pan to reduce the sauce, but I like overcooked kidneys crystallized in maple syrup. So personally, I let them in the pan. I have this other experiment running, and tonight I'll be frying some patties for finding the perfect burger. And this experiment, I'm running it in parallel. This is a first. I'm trying to do salted lard. It's a method of preservation, very common in Quebec. We do it with pork, and it gives us salted lard blocks with the skin on. And it allows the creation of oreille de Chris, which is a deep-fried pork fat, salted pork fat slice. And now I'm in Alberta. We don't have salted lard in Alberta, so I'm trying to do my own salted lard from beef, Alberta beef. So now we have these pieces of fat. They will spend 4 weeks drying in this solid salt, coarse sea salt. And once they are dried after 4 weeks, I will attempt to create the first oreille de Chris from beef, from Alberta beef. That is a possible culinary innovation. I don't know if it's going to work. And then yesterday I was driving around and I find these pig feet that are available in Alberta. Oh yeah, I was so happy. I was like, this is going to be spectacular. So I had to learn because I don't have a recipe for pig feet. I never really did this. I tasted pig feet at the Pied de Cochon in Montreal. Foie gras stuffed pig feet by Martin Picard. And so I wasn't aware. People have sent me info yesterday following my publication of the photo. They sent me the Pierre Kaufman classical recipe that had been approved and idolized by Marco Pierre White. So I watched the whole YouTube video, 45 minutes. So what Pierre Kaufman brought to the pig feet is that he's basically doing a dissection of the bone out. So you only have the skin left. So he's dissecting the bone out. He's then stuffing it with chicken mousseline, which is blended chicken paste, basically, and sweet bread. Now, my relationship with pig feet is that my grandma used to make this beautiful, delicious, floury, thick sauce meatball stew. And it was a recipe that came from pig feet, from Le Cercle des Fermières. And I wanted to reproduce that taste. Rather than do the innovative Pierre Kaufman way, I wanted to go back to the Quebecois traditional meatball stew. But then I wanted also to integrate something from Pierre Kaufman. So I decided to, just like Pierre Kaufman, I decided to stuff the whole feet, the whole pig feet. But I have stuffed them with my grandma's meatball stew, which was a pig feet meatball stew. So you end up having a... So that's the creation I've made. You end up having a pig feet that is full, but the interior of the pig feet has been scraped out and has contributed to my grandma's meatballs too. And now the pig feet is stuffed with the meatballs, and there's the sauce from the stew. So when you open the pig feet, you end up having meatballs like this, which is my grandma's and Le Cercle des Fermières type recipe, but it's inside a whole pig feet with a eatable outside that has been long braised. So yes, it's Meta Pig stuff. Ked's Dad says, Jeff, I wanted to ask you yesterday about chicken and waffles. Although popular in black communities, it was invented by white male. Will you include in the book? Absolutely. There's already a full description of chicken and waffle. And I have a beautiful picture in the book. It's definitely a page in the book. Chicken and waffle. That's a genius invention, I would say. I love fried chicken and waffle with Tabasco. Wow, that's delicious. So yeah, my culinary experiments are going well. I've basically found the perfect fries. If you buy white people food, you'll be able to, literally, if you own a restaurant, you could buy white people food and improve your fries. That's just how much science I've done in this. There's 6 pages of how to make the proper fry. And I show all of the directions. I show, okay, if you do this, it's going to be like this. If you do this, I have 48 different tests, 48 different categories of stuff that I've tested on fries. So if you want to know everything about how do I get fries like this, how do I get fries like that, you're going to know everything. White people food will be an absolutely historical document. Daily Cope says, Destiny and Nick Fuentes had chicken and waffles together on stream. Okay. Magister Templi says, pretty wild stuff, dislike fatty meat for the most part, and deadly combined with sugar. Oh yeah, definitely, the pig feet is something to eat, you know, it's a very heavy, it's a fat-only, basically, meal, as far as the outside goes. Now, I'm pretty satisfied for a first time cooking this, pretty satisfied about the result. It was good enough for a picture. That's what I cared about mostly, taking a picture of the meal. I've learned a lot, though, you know. First, you have to care that there are certain root parts with kind of hairs on pig feet. You have to cut them all out before the cooking because they're not interesting to eat. And then I realized, well, I did braise for a long time, so the skin was good to eat. But it would have benefited from even more browning, even more broiling. So I gave a 5-minute broil at the end. I could have given, I think, a 20-minute broil. This thing is thick and fat, and it needs to be absolutely rendered. So those are the things for now that I've learned from my first experience. We have a...
I can't watch tonight. But have a great show.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for the donation, friend of Gandalf. Extremely appreciated. Marby Dog says, pig feet are good to flavor another dish, but not by themselves, in my opinion. Yeah, I mean, definitely, this is what the Quebecois were doing with it. Pierre Kaufman was doing more of one that features the pig feet. I think it's great to have a meal that features the pig feet. I think it's important not to lose connection with what a piece of food can become. And, you know, the pig feet has its limits. It's in the center of your plate. It's dominant. It's super fat. It's difficult to eat. But I think we have to have recipes that feature that ingredient. I think it's a very wide thing. In fact, I make this argument in the book that our recipes, they're not like, if you look everywhere in the world, from India to Africa up to the southern parts of the Mediterranean, you have recipes that don't feature the ingredient. They mix ingredients together. They make everything together and everything gets blended and they aim for something at the end. I don't believe that that's European, the European way of treating ingredients. I believe that one characteristic is we don't want just the flavor of the pig feet. We want to see it. We want it to be featured and we're ready to live with it, even if it's not, even if it has defects. Even if it's a hard food to eat, I want to know what this food eat. When I order a pig feet, I want to know, I want to investigate what can the pig feet taste possibly. I don't want a good meal. I want to taste a pig feet. Sadie Edward says, the boys in Afghanistan used to eat pickled pig feet because the Afghans would ask them, couldn't eat it. Oh, because of some religious stuff. Yeah, I guess that those conflicts have happened. So we have a lot of rising conflicts in America around the right. The right is segmenting itself. And I believe that this is the great theme of 2026 is, will the right segment itself so hard that it will pay the price in the midterm? Or can there be a proposition that comes from the right, from the Republicans, that will kind of gather people back into some degree of, maybe not enthusiasm, but at least a momentary unity that can be sustained? Kay is still here, says, I eat oatmeal, pizza, wings, mung beans, and potatoes. Will your book help me be a better Scandinavian? Oh, absolutely. Because if you talk about wings, I have the ultimate guide for everything you can do with a chicken wing. It's fantastic. You won't believe. Because as a Scandinavian, you probably don't know much about the culture of extended options of chicken wings. What if I told you that my one page about the chicken wings is a system? It's a tactical system. I call it Advanced Tactical Gastronomical Protocol. Gastronomy Protocol. The tree of decision that I offer you on this page can lead probably to something like 50,000 different chicken wings. So I'm taking you through 6 decisions, and it's like every time you make a choice, it brings you somewhere else. And I guarantee you that you can make tens of thousands of good varieties of chicken wing from my tactical system. And I came up with this concept. I think it's going to absolutely improve your life. Pizza, I'm thinking about maybe I should have a page like this for pizza. And as far as potatoes, yes, definitely there's basically a whole philosophical part of this book about potatoes and everything you can do with them. Beet Soup still asking for almond milk. I'm sorry. Never gonna put almond milk in there. I don't know what that thing is. Call it something else. If you had called it almond, pureed juiced almond mixed with water, maybe I would be open. But you stole the word milk. See? Milk means something. It means pulling on the tits until some liquid comes out. You're not pulling on any almond's tits. Almonds don't have tits. They're not mammals. And therefore, I reject almond milk. You're gonna have to name it something. Now, I'm sure that naming it something would make it absolutely undigestible for anyone else. But for me, that's what I need. I know that the people likes to think of it as milk. To me, that's not milk. As a biologist, I reject almond milk. YouTube commenter says, what are the odds of JF screaming at a guest, are you on drugs in 2026? Well, I think that if we continue having open-minded guest invitations with these people, it's going to happen again. Alex Jones declares war on the Candace fans.
I remember saying to them, like I said, I got to investigate her now. I got a bad feeling. I didn't have a bad feeling. God gave me a good brain. I already knew. I dropped the ball. I apologize. She's a globalist agent. I dropped the ball and I failed you and I'm sorry. I got to follow my gut every time. It's never wrong. And I saw so much more she did. And I love her people threatening me and all their doxing of people and all of it. You think that's going to make me go away? All you did was wake me up like a nuclear test site waking up Godzilla. So just get your asses ready because you want a war. I want your war. I want it all. I want the doxing. I want the lies. I want the attacks. I'm going to take you on because you aren't for the deep state and the Democratic Party and the CIA and MI6. And I see your ass. So you just get ready. This ain't my first rodeo.
I mean, those are the schisms developing. Like, it's so weird because Alex Jones normally is the craziest of the conversation, but now we have the rise of Candace, and I'm not saying that everything she's doing is crazy, but it's certainly loose journalistically, and she's certainly playing with a journalistic direction that we've not seen before. Ty Rogerson says, wasn't JF supposed to be speaking with Nick soon? Yeah, but Nick is on vacation now, so we're going to do this in January. But yes, we will speak together. It's just that he went on vacation, so I didn't annoy him too much or pressure him. I said, okay, let's do this in January. Candace Owens being criticized by Alex Jones. Alex Jones, voice of rationality. Alex Jones banned from YouTube, while Candace is on YouTube. But apparently using looser journalistic ethics than the InfoWars people. The world is kind of reverted, and it's all very confusing to think of what will happen in 2026 with this. And to be clear, I have made a case before that Candace and her investigation at least can give us some confidence that everything was tried. Because it is so bizarre, the killing of Charlie Kirk and how it happened and the circumstances around this. It is so bizarre. There was a comedian, I think I retweeted or liked his video. He was making jokes around this and how, okay, so Erica Kirk, was hanging out in Ukraine was hanging out in Romania and eventually got banned of Romania because she was working with a charity that was doing human trafficking. And he said, do you imagine how fucked up you have to get banned from Romania? I mean, he has a point. so bizarre. This girl, and then she takes over TP USA. It is so bizarre, and I'd rather we have Candace than nothing. I'd rather we have Candace than everyone telling us, well, don't ask questions, and no, it's certainly Tyler Robinson. And Candace is a force of chaos, but sometimes chaos is better than inaction. Will Ferrer says, were any of you in chat a JF listener back in Bloodsports where he would debate Nick Fuentes? Yeah, those were good days. I remember debating Nick Fuentes on nuclear powers in Muslim countries. And should we intervene in this war or that war? And those were interesting days. Kay is still here, says, I still think it's unrequited love and jealousy. Well, I don't know that Candace appears to be acting out of jealousy. I think she appears to be certainly motivated to find the truth and to be the one who takes the hit first, who goes in front, who takes more risk than others to get to a truth that apparently no one else wants to get at. She had a discussion with Harrison Smith, and that we had a growing tension between InfoWars and Candace, not just because of Alex Jones' clip here, but Harrison Smith appeared on her Twitter space, started asking her a question, what is the working theory about the Huachuca meeting, for example? And she doesn't have a working theory. Now, the point of Candace, and it's a decent point, the point of Candace is I don't need to have a working theory. We are doing a public investigation. Therefore, I'm informing people about what I know at a certain point in time. Those are the things that I know. And if we want investigations to become public, if we want more transparency with our truth-seeking process, we have to accept that there will have to be Candaces. There will have to be people who stand at the forefront, at the edge of fact-finding, and who take risks of losing credibility in the process of finding these facts. So Six City says, predictions for 2026. I predict, first and foremost, that the Candace train will have to exhaust itself, and that there will be credibility prices to pay eventually for her. I think that this will take the form. Eventually, she's going to bump on a wall where there will be a massive campaign against her. She's been too loose on various journalistic things. She's going to have to pay the price eventually. Now, for now, she's still reaping the rewards in terms of audience. But there will be a point where a certain segment of our audience will drop her behind. And it's probably going to be a point at which there will be an accumulation of things that she's pushed forward that will eventually be totally destroyed or debunked or actually demonstrated false. And that day might very well come in 2026 for her. I think that it's unsustainable to be doing those cliffhangers basically in the journalistic scene with your audience, but then you developed your audience is more stupid than you always, so you develop an army basically of people who are inspired by your speech further than everything you say. Technically, they think more, they expect more, and eventually this is unsustainable. There can't always be more. Eventually, there will be one of our line of research, whether it's the, like, eventually you're going to get just Brigitte Macron, just nude pause. We're going to get Brigitte Macron porn. This is what's going to happen. And, or we're going to get like a video of Erica Kirk, not in Fort Huachuca, Not in a Fort Huachuca hotel on September 9th, or we're gonna get some massive straight evidence that Candace is basically beside the track. And this is going to be a price to pay in 2026. So that is my main prediction as far as the Candace stuff goes. And it's not even that I want her to stop asking questions. It's just she's been going at the limit, of what can be done ethically. And eventually, while I recognize that I want transparency and I want public investigation, but I recognize that this will be paid in human price. One by one, the people who engage in this kind of thing will eventually be proven wrong and be proven ridiculous, unless they're more careful than Candace. John Brown says, Jeff, I need you to be as blunt as possible. Well, he's asking about differences in IQ and to which extent they can be solved or fixed by anything else, anything environmental, anything else than genetic modification. I've been very clear about this for years. I do not believe that the environment can significantly change crystallized adult IQ. So we are playing games with the data these days. The Marxists are playing games. They are educating children faster, and they're making tests in the young age. So they say, oh, well, wow, this guy is 20 IQ point more. But it's like, no, they converge toward the same point in adulthood, no matter what you do. That is the actual science as far as we know it, that the vast majority of the IQ variation is one that is crystallized, set, genetic in origin, and determined for the destination. That is when your IQ at 20-year-old. That's what matters. Now, what you can do, unfortunately, and what the Marxists will probably increasingly do, is they will make interventions, and they will justify these interventions by making children age faster. So if you take a 9-year-old and you make him compete with another 9-year-old, and you can train that 9-year-old to score higher on an IQ test temporarily. But the fact is, the 2 9-year-old, they will be headed toward their crystallized IQ in adult age. But you've just speeded up one of them. You speeded up how fast they were reaching that crystallized IQ, but you didn't make that crystallized IQ higher. You just made it at a point in time where they, you know, children have variation. The age, the growth, the age in terms of the growth and development of a child is a very variable thing. But what we know about development is if it doesn't happen this year, it's going to happen next year, and it really doesn't matter. And it's not necessarily the case that because you do something earlier that the child gets better in adult age. There are certainly things for which there's no advantage in speeding them up. Burger Fan says, if I am the feds, I want as many Candace clones so I can further discredit right-wingers and justify censorship and other oppressive actions. That's another prediction that people say about 2026, that censorship will come back. I don't know what the hell happened with censorship. I don't understand. There are people who are still banned permanently from YouTube, and it's not clear to me why I'm not. It's not clear to me why is it that Candace Owens is on YouTube monetized, but Alex Jones, who thinks she is not respecting journalistic ethics, cannot be on YouTube. How does that work? Why? And will it come back? That's a good question. I'm not so blackpilled about the censorship. I'm not sure that we're seeing censorship again. it all depends on precisely the schism. If censorship rises again, it will be probably through money interest wanting to censor a subset of the right. So if there are billionaires next year who say, look, we have a problem. We want to slowly prepare the rotation toward JD Vance. We have all of these voices like Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes that are bringing the right in other directions. We need to basically shut down the competition so that only the Jack Posobiec of this world can speak. That's basically what they did in, 2019, 2020? That's basically what they did. So this kind of billionaire, what they did with Susan Wojcicki is all those alliances with the ADL, all these sponsorship of, oh yeah, we're gonna provide you the staff that determines what hate speech is, and so you're just gonna have to listen to our special flaggers. All of this happened on social media in 2020, and we shouldn't be blind to the possibility that it will come back at some point. But I don't know necessarily that this is going to happen in 2026, because there's also a strong trend, and this is represented by the Tucker Carlson and in a way by the Charlie Kirks of this world, that say, no, we're not going to constantly cancel. We're not going to constantly cancel everyone you request. And if this trend in the right can survive, then perhaps we will have less censorship. Perhaps they will tolerate to have internal disagreement in the right. Now, there are obstacles to this happening, and one of these is Zionist interest, because they are not happy with a diversified right, let me tell you. They are absolutely frustrated at, they are calling for the cancellation of a Tucker Carlson for speaking to Nick Fuentes. So there's a tripartite interaction defining the Republican Party right now. There is the Nick Fuentes, so the gripers, the people who have been rejected from the system and who consider themselves in a quest for gaining control, in a quest for pushing their own ideas in a system that has canceled them and rejected them. I would say you then have the loose coalition of center-leftists who are in the Republican Party circumstantially. And there are opponents in that very category. It's not an homogeneous category. But this includes Candace Owens, because, this is a girl who could have been Black Lives Matter activist, okay? She took a different route, but she's circumstantially, I would say, right-winger. I wouldn't be surprised at some point if she does a rotation and supports a rising Democrat candidate with slightly different ideas than a Kamala Harris or a Joe Biden. Then in that very coalition of circumstantially Republican, there's Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is a statist, the Zionist in general. The Zionists are circumstantially Republican. Some of them can be kind of not right-wing, at least on their economic position. And these people are kind of like, and Brett Weinstein to an extent is this. I wouldn't say that Brett Weinstein is a Trump voter. I don't know if he voted maybe the last time for Trump, but in general, with these Tulsi Gabbard support. Those are people who want to lobby the Republican Party to be something else than a right-wing party for real, and rather to be at the service of various sets of specialized interests, ethnic interests, and groups. And Tim Pool, I would say, is also in this mix. circumstantially Republican, because Tim Pool, a liberal skater, you know, there's really nothing conservative about Tim Pool. He runs his podcast like a leftist institution, employees and all. He's not like separating from the system. He's not right wing economically. He's a statist, and he thinks of things in a very liberal way. So I would say that those are all examples of circumstantially right wing people who, I don't know how this vote looks when suddenly Trump is not there anymore. And so the withdrawal of Trump will start being felt in 2026. Of course, he's still the president and he's still going to be for 2 years. But the direction of the Republican Party will take more and more definition. And it will be more and more clear that, oh, it's going to be J.D. Vance, and oh, it's going to go like that. Under these circumstances, pressures will be applied to all these schisms between the tripartite alliance, because the third part of the Republican Party, so we had the rejected gripers, we have the circumstantially Republican, and then you have the actual Republican elite, or as well as the Christian Zionist and the blooded Republican that will forever vote Republican. Are not true. They wouldn't even know what a griper is, and they might not have ever heard of Candace Owens, but they're just in the system and they will always vote Republican. And this is also part of those people who are in the politicians themselves. So this is the alliance that the Republican Party is currently. And Trump, just as much as we've seen how Charlie Kirk was important to withhold everyone together, Trump probably is a little bit like Charlie Kirk, where his disappearance will change a lot of things. His walking away will change a lot of things. And under a J.D. Vance, I don't know where it's headed. Will J.D. Vance play a bait and switch? Will he be populist? Will he be hand extending to all of these subsets? Or will he be more like, this is the way I'm going, and whether you like it or not, I'm going that way? DJ Pepmar says, are you trying to sound German with an American accent? Yes, yes, I am trying to sound German. No, I'm a Quebecois and I've always spoken with this accent. I'm born in French. What can I say? I will always have this accent. Let's have a look at Eric's super chat. Thank you so much for the generous donation.
I have two boys in school that generally only get a pass grade. Many of their classmates have extra classes to get them ahead in grades. My boys are years ahead in Minecraft and complicated Lego structures, though. I think they will be fine. Smile.
Yes, I think they will. Because never forget that performance at school is partly a sign of adherence to system thought. And these people with good grades, they end up being sheep of the system, and many of them end up being betrayed by the system. Because this system takes you through up to the university, loses all of your young adulthood life, and then they release you on the street with no promise that you're going to get a job. So it's better sometimes for people to learn that their life relies on themselves, and that the system is not there to take care of them forever. And sometimes, yes, that means maybe concentrating less on grades and more on personal development in another sphere. And for geeks, it's absolutely natural. For geeks who have made, like, and I know, you know, Eric has made money on the internet. I did. when you've made your life on the internet, you know just how powerful the internet is and how games aren't just games. If you can be serious about producing a game, producing a software that people need, if you can be serious about this and if you can have internet culture, because yes, it is culture, ultimately. Yes, Minecraft is culture. It's a cultural item. And, you know, it's just as good, as far as I'm concerned, as a course in art. A course in arts, in fact, arguably is worse. A course in the arts, they will show you how to do paintings, and no one's going to buy your painting. You're never going to make a living with a painting. But if you have gaming culture, and you know internet culture, if you're internet savvy, you can make a living from the internet. Not just as a public speaker like me, but as an employee, as staff, as a remote working staff, as a coder, or as a creator of games and creator of music or whatever. So definitely, this is something that the system has failed to understand. So they're processing children into hyper-socialized, hyper-competitive brain stuffing, really. That's what's happening. Brain stuffing. And they're not asking the question, is this brain stuffing related to the output? People's satisfaction with their own life, reproduction, efficiency in adulthood, and success in terms of the overall economic satisfaction with their own lives. On these measures, we're doing terrible. People are suffering from mental disorders, families are broken, marriages are scrapped, and people, they live through adulthoods that are absolutely depressive. So absolutely, I wouldn't worry about this situation. Your children don't have 100% on math, so be it. Ty Rogerson says, we're out here eating pig's feet. DJ Pemnar says, if you are here legally, you have nothing to worry about. I'm not going to arrest anyone on December 31st or January 1st. So free game, guys. I'll join in as Interpol officer. Are you like the little black boy that was at the Trump speech who thinks he's a policeman? Are you like little Jimmy? What is this? You've decided not to arrest us. Well, thank you, sir. But I don't think you had the right to arrest us. I don't think anyone has committed crimes. Here's a guy in the chat who thinks he's a little policeman. Megyn Kelly is also part of these rifts. Look at her taking shots at Mark Levin, because Mark Levin was rambling about her. And there she is. You're just upset because I'm not afraid of you or your baseless slurs. You're an old, irrelevant, bitter, angry man who could never make it in the Fox News primetime. We used to laugh at you there for your red-faced tantrums over everything. He was saying, Meg Kelly, whose ratings were so bad on NBC she became laughingstock, was canned for promoting blackface on Halloween. You see, she was always a degenerate bigot. This is why she's cool with Candace Owens and Jack Posobiec. This is why she slobbers over Katarsen. She's part of the woke right, the queen of the modern clan. The queen of the modern clan. Wow. Mark Levin is going down in terms of the interest of his commentary. He's really just a pissed off guy who was operating in the past in the controlled market of cable TV. But in the current free speech era, he's unable to perform. And so he's really just pissed off on the everyday, just complaining about Nick Fuentes, Nazi, complaining about Megyn Kelly, Reich. Megyn Kelly is the new expression of the Third Reich. Ked's Dead says, Jeff, have you invented a way to fuse croissant with American biscuits and gravy? No, I did this with bread. I did a biscuit tasting bread. I don't know if I will include it in white people food. I have to make a decision. But mixing croissant, well, croissant is going to be very hard to do in a biscuit style. Because croissant is all about the folding. And I do have to learn it because I think it would be a shame if we don't have croissant, a full croissant recipe in white people food. But at the same time, it's such a technique that I have to learn it. My rule to include something in the book is I have to master it because I can't just bullshit you by taking stuff on the internet and copying it in. I have to have an understanding of the thing if I want to teach it to you. Lapidus says, JF, have you prepared beef Wellington? I made a page about beef Wellington in the book, but it's not a recipe. I just dedicated that page to Gordon Ramsay, and I'm just showing one of his work because someone took a photo at Hell's Kitchen of Gordon Ramsay's beautiful beef Wellington. It's a beautiful picture. And you can see the talent of Gordon Ramsay. Just super dark brown pastry, you know, and a beautiful shiny red wine sauce and the liquid mashed potatoes, so buttery. They are like flowing. They're flowing around like a sauce almost. So I've decided that Gordon Ramsay has such a public version of that recipe that I really don't need to give a recipe. I just direct people toward the Gordon Ramsay recipe. Plepides says Marco Pierre is greater than Gordon. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion. I would say certainly Gordon Ramsay is someone who has raised the quality of public engagement on food much more than anyone else really in history. So in terms of a public audience development and developing TV contest, and I know that Marco Pierre White did some documentary and, you know, filming of his stuff, but Gordon Ramsay has literally made like intergenerational lasting contest systems. Like MasterChef, like Hell's Kitchen. Like these things could go on forever. And they have reached so many millions of people. It's incomparable in terms of public impact. DJ Pepmar says, do you know how he cook egg fried rice? Yeehaw! You don't know. Egg fried rice, is that an Asian? That's an Asian recipe. Egg fried rice? Is it like just rice with egg chunks in it? Not even an address. So the there's continuing to be an exposition of the Somali run fraud scheme in Minnesota, all of these daycares. Now, there is now a pushback because the journalist who showed, look, I'm knocking on these doors and there's no one, he took for granted that because there's no one, it's a fraud. And people maybe jumped a little too fast on this because, okay, it's not necessarily because it's closed that day that it's a fraud. There was maybe a case of a guy who made the case. No, no, we are opened. You just knocked on our door at a time where we were not opened. And it's like, okay, whether it's opened or not, something tells me that money is flowing in this system at a very high fraud rate. So I think that we'll get to delineate and things will trickle down and we'll get to know what was fraud and what was not fraud. But in general, with these government systems, I expect, as Elon Musk pointed out, something like 90% fraud or like trillions of dollars. And people are investigating a growing set of various government grant systems. The autism diagnosis, which, by the way, I was the first on this. I was literally the first, because for 10 years I've been saying they get diagnosed with autism so they can drain the... Because somehow a completely stupid aspect of the American system is that they will give you welfare if you have autism, which is bizarre, because here's the one, mental characteristic that actually doesn't make you disabled. And actually a lot of people who are currently on welfare under autism reason, they are absolutely functional beings. So it's like, why do we have this special loophole where you go get diagnosed with, there's nothing easier than getting diagnosed with autism, by the way. It's like, have you seen my pig feet, guys? And like the doctor comes to you and he's like, JF, we'd like to determine if you're autistic. So tell me about what you... I like pig feet. So JF, what do you do with pig feet? Cooking. Do you like any other things than pig feet? I like pork chops. Now, you do this for an hour with a psychiatrist, and you get lifelong welfare from a supposedly American capitalist system. How does that... Why? It's like, it's the easiest performance ever. And what about those artists that are functional and they go to work every day? They don't get rewarded. They could literally make the same amount of money if they didn't go to McDo to shake fries. They would just stay home. Doesn't make sense. And yet that's the American system. And that is the path through which a lot of poor people in America make it. And it destroys family also, because a couple of women end up having this welfare check and therefore they are not bound to their husband. They can survive on their own. So it's any injection of unnatural money in that way for unjustified reason will break a lot of things. Crockpot Broccoli says, I like old mechanical things, firearms and wooden boats. Gives me that government money. Government money. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. So finally, as a last prediction for 2026, we will see the increasing pressure imposed by J.D. Vance and onto J.D. Vance, who will be trying to negotiate among the three factions of the right that I've listed. And we will see people starting to detach, starting to say, there are some people who will feel that they are not part of this new coalition. I don't know if it will be a Nick Fuentes. We'll talk to Nick in January precisely about all this. I don't know if Nick is being integrated, being digested by the system, or being rejected by it. He seems to be trending toward being accepted in the system. The way a Tucker Carlson gets an interview of him, that's not random. The way a Joe Rogan compliments his comedy, that's not random. I think there is a regularization and normalization of Nick Fuentes that's in the process of happening. The Zionists are losing a lot of power, yes. Marby Dog says pro-Zionist conservatives are fading away. It's because they have this sine qua non conditions that they've imposed, where it's like, no, we're not in. We're not Republicans if Nick Fuentes is respected in the Republican Party. And I think the proper move for a proper right is to say, well, fuck off. Fuck off. We don't do emotional blackmail. We don't reject human beings based on your lack of satisfaction with them and because you don't like what they said before. And I think it's time for the Zionist interests to be kind of politically homeless. But I think that in the most positive outcome that one could still dream and one could still be white-pilled about this very possibly happening in 2026 is a bilateral rejection of Zionist interests. Now, with the money flowing in, this is hard. It's hard to get to. But we may at least have a symbolic boundary imposed onto the Zionists and say, if you want the car ride with us, we can take you in, but you're not going to get in the car and start imposing positions on everyone else. You're not going to get us to dehumanize people. Now, that's a dream. I don't think it has necessarily more than 50% chance of happening, but I think it's in the cards. But with the money flows and with the elite, the third prong of the Republican Party, the elite is very much in control of the Republican Party still. And they still very much are denunciating and rejecting Nick Fuentes. And some of them are even rejecting Tucker Carlson. So I guess the current point of subtlety in the right is like, do we just cancel Nick Fuentes or do we cancel Tucker Carlson for talking to him? Or do we cancel anyone in the orbit of Tucker Carlson? It's like it's the Republican Party is in the process of deciding what is the space, the rectangle of acceptable conversation, as Jordan Peterson called it not so long ago. And I believe we'll see a lot of action and changes in 2026 on this. There's another direction that is also positive, where you can have still some white pill within this, is what if there is no. And what if, for example, Zionist interests are big enough to buy out any attempts at being inclusive on the Republican side and try to, in fact, win without the Fuentes of this world, which is basically what Trump kind of went to in 2024. What if that happens? Well, what we would hope then is that a Nick Fuentes continues to grow his Griper movement, continues to exert leverage on the Republican elite and say, we are not satisfied. A little bit like we've seen Clavicular do in his interview recently with Michael Knowles, say, no, I'm just not satisfied. We're going to vote for the beautiful guy. We're going to vote for Gavin Newsom. So those are the possibilities of development for 2026. I'll be looking in excitement. And another development will be, of course, I want to publish White People Food for sure. My cookbook. My anthropological book of European and European descent cuisine. It will be quite the book, and I'm excited about it. This, I hope, will be published in a way where you can have plenty of time to buy it for next Christmas. So those are my upcoming expectations for 2026. Gregotti says we need the JF Clav link up. Maybe I need to lose more weight. I need to be more beautiful for Clav to speak with me. I actually don't take issue with acknowledging that beauty is important in society because there's such a taboo around this. I'm happy that he's doing it. Now, I'm not beauty obsessed, but I know that the world works on beauty. I know that the world, as he believes, works on beauty. So he's right on this. Russell Brand never reintroduced us. Yeah, so there's a whole kerfuffle between Nick Fuentes and Candace Owens, where Nick Fuentes is raising, what is your and your husband's relationship with John Mappin now? I don't know why you are being so evasive and defensive about this. So it's because there is evidence that Nick was sharing that. So there's this John Mappin, a rich guy from who Nick Fuentes says is the preserver of the crown jewels. Like, what the fuck is this? So some important elite aristocracy member. And eventually there's this party in Europe where Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk go, and Charlie Kirk makes a speech and opens up TPUSA, England or whatever. And there's this John Mappin who appears to be him and his wife friends with Candace and friends with George Farmer at the time. And they link them up. And he kind of presents George to Candace for the first time in her life. Now, that is not where they fell in love, according to her story. George Farmer then saw her at a party with Paul Joseph Watson the next day, I think. That's my understanding from their conversation. And therefore, that's on that party with Paul Joseph Watson, she sits beside George Farmer. And it's love at first sight. Or as she says, at second sight. So Nick Fuentes is questioning this narrative and questioning, importantly, what is the relationship between John Mappin and Candace Owens? And is it possible that Candace Owens' coverage and directions of coverage are ultimately influenced by other agents? And the answer of Candace to this is, we're just friends. We're friends with John Mappin. I guess it's like me being friends with Jeff Epstein, really. It's like, this is not something that people will just pass over. So no, please explain to me, what is the relation of your, what is the nature of your friendship? Because as Nick points out, you're not just friends with some billionaire, millionaire, royalty, crown jewel protector designated in the English aristocracy. That's not enough of an explanation. Your friends, there are other things than friendships developing at this level of society. And Nick Fuentes is probing this and questioning this. But in the end, Candace might have more than a friend relationship, maybe a funder relationship with John Mappin. And what would it change? Not much. End of the line, Joel says, Jeff, what is your AI technology prediction for 2026? RAM prices are getting more expensive rather than less. AI will continue to rise. AI will be more and more developing in secret. So what we've seen up to now, it has helped the general public and all these coders on the internet who say, I can show you how to code much faster with Grok. Let me tell you these 5 tips about how to use Grok. More and more, the AI will have applications into our elites. And it will be secret. And we will not come to see it as AI or even know that it's AI. But I'm telling you, within the next year, there will be politicians spouting off stuff that their staff has gathered from AI. And so politicians are about to become a puppet of Grok. Now, that has massive implication. And there will be specific cases where they will get caught. There will be turns of phrases that everyone will be able to know, oh shit, that comes from Grok. Because I know how Grok speaks. If you speak something that you read from Grok, I know how Grok speaks and thinks. So my prediction would be maybe in 2026 or certainly within the next 5 years, you're going to have an increasing private use by the elite of AI for their strategy. Eventually, you're going to have a JD Vance basically trusting AI to decide whether he should denunciate Nick Fuentes or you know, make up with him. And so corporate strategies, extensive political planning will be handled increasingly by AI. There will be military contracts, military strategy. A lot of it will be a money flow that we won't really see. And it will be just the government just dumping money onto Elon Musk for an AI program. But it will have massive impacts in the back, on behind the veil. Behind the curtain, AI is about to take over human societies. And it's not even going to happen in 10 years from now. It's happening. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.